I'm Joy Robertson, and this is Inside the Food Channel. Every single year, foodies from all over cannot get enough of the NRA show, National Restaurant Association show in Chicago. Unfortunately, I was not able to make it this year, but my colleague Locke Hildebrand was all over it. And Locke, I want to hear all the great takeaways from NRA this year, what the sort of trends were, what you see for the future. First of all, did you have a good time, get some good food?
Not only did I get some good food, but I also got some good drinks. I was in the NRA and bar show both, so it was a very good couple of days.
It always is a good few days. Again, I'm really sorry I missed it, but what were your favorites? What stood out when you went in? Did you go in with an open mind, or did you go in just looking for anything specific?
Well, I sort of go in with a three-stage approach. Approach one is, how many free samples can I collect? Approach two is, I can't wait to get to the lower level where all the new companies are to start seeing some of the stranger things that are going on. And then approach number three is, I just want to eat everything in sight. So that's usually the mind I go in with. And then I just sort of let things extrapolate out from there.
So what did you see or taste that made you go, this is interesting?
Well, I guess I'll start with sweets, because it's one of my favorite categories. One of the interesting things to me is Tiger's Blood, which was a snow cone flavor when I was a little kid that was just everywhere, and I loved it. And it's sort of a mix, if you're unfamiliar, of coconut, watermelon, and strawberry is usually the standard mix of it. But they had Tiger's Blood cocktails, they had Tiger's Blood gelato, they had Tiger's Blood lemonade. So it's sort of interesting because it's something that I thought sort of died with the 80s that's all of a sudden back in these really cool adult ways.
Okay, so everything old is new again, which sort of speaks to that nostalgia, which has been a big deal. We all love to sort of harken back to our childhood. Tiger's Blood cocktail. Interesting. That's not something I would have expected to see. So this is why we're having this conversation. I love it. What else did you find?
Well, one of the other big things for me were regional sweet teas. So instead of there being sweet tea and then unsweet tea and then like southern sweet tea, you're seeing things like Alabama mint and like East Coast sweet tea and Deep South sweet. So all of a sudden it's regionalizing the idea of what sweet tea is, which is a really cool idea because for years we've been seeing flavored sweet teas, but we've never seen it actually tackle, you know, itself from a regional level. So I was hyped up on all sorts of sugar from different types of sweet teas that I was tasting. Another big thing for me was the amount of stuffed cookies, which we've seen stuffed cookies on DIY blogs and Pinterest for a couple years now, and we've yet to really see them ever hit a marketplace. But walking through NRA, there are people that are doing cookies with brownies inside of them, cookies with fruit fillings, cookies with other types of pastries just sort of snuck in underneath in the middle. So it's actually starting to appear, you know, in the forefront instead of just, you know, in the blogosphere for the first time, which was really interesting. And they were all really delicious. Everything from brownie stuffed lemon to looking at things like cranberry and maple with a sort of like cream cheese and a tart Meyer lemon almost taste to the middle of them. And it was just such an interesting thing to see finally, you know, get some recognition, because it's been sort of one of those foodie guilty pleasures for a while now.
Very nice. Cookies are always good. The desserts are always nice to, yeah, like you say, samples. It's all about it. You know, walk around, taste it, see what you think. What about other sort of snack food?
A couple things that were interesting looking at snacks, and this one really caught me off guard, but with, you know, the whole push for marijuana legalization and pot-based desserts, seeing hemp seed come out as a protein, as a salad additive, as a baked snack was sort of a really interesting switch. Mm-hmm. Another thing that was interesting looking at snacking and just sort of bite sizes was the idea of, I'm calling it everything but Greek yogurt, which it sort of shocked me because I walked in expecting to see a whole bunch of companies with some form of Greek yogurt offering. Instead, they had a ton of Greek offerings, like small bite Greek food. So it's almost as if we've taken Greek yogurt and used it as a gateway into the, you know, the land of Mediterranean cuisine, and now we're figuring out how to turn it into snacks and appetizers.
I'm all on board for that sort of thing, because I love Mediterranean cuisine. Did you see a lot of the whole ethnic influence this time again?
Yeah, ethnic influences. It's interesting because I kept trying to see what the next big one was. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of crazy because there's a lot of them that are starting to fuse into each other. Like, you're seeing elements of Italian and Japanese fusing together. You're seeing Indian and Korean fusing together. So you're starting to see ethnic fusions. Beyond things that we're normally looking at, like the idea of Latin American and Chinese, or Tex-Mex and Chinese, those sorts of things that we've been familiar with, we're starting to see some really interesting ones sort of bubble up out of it.
So getting back to the whole, the beverage, the cocktails, that's always a fun deal. It doesn't usually typically open on Sunday, and then you've got Sunday, Monday to peruse all of that good stuff. You mentioned tea. Did you see a lot of tea-based cocktails? I'm just curious because I have a friend that I know there's like a margarita made with tea, like a tea garita. I have a friend that's completely addicted to those. What did you see in the cocktail categories that stood out besides some of the things you've already talked about?
Well, I had two things that I thought were really interesting, and I think I talked the people at the booth's ears off. One was a group called Al's Brew, and Al's Brew is a cocktail tea. And it is a tea that is specifically blended to be a cocktail mixer. And they were not only delicious, they had great packaging. It was super cool. They've only been around, I think they said, for like 2 years. But one of the things that we got in talking about was that it doesn't dilute the taste of the beverage itself. So that was one of the hard things to overcome, is when a lot of people make cocktails with tea at home, the cocktail gets diluted down with the amount of water. But this isn't the case with these, because they're designed to work that way. So cocktail tea is like becoming something that's going to keep growing and growing. Another thing that was really cool is the idea of drinking vinegar. And I talked to these people for a really long time because it just fascinated me. And I really wanted to get it all back to our kitchens and just play with it. Mm-hmm. But it's basically, it is a seasonal vinegar that they used to make what they used to call shrub cocktails. And shrub cocktails were really all the rage before modern preservative techniques came out. And it was sort of the original cocktail mixer. Mm-hmm. And they're taking really unique seasonal flavors like Michigan apple pie or beetroot or fennel and pineapple. And they're making these seasonal sort of like elixir bottles of drinking vinegar that you mix in with cocktails that you can drink by itself even. The beetroot one I'm a big fan of just to drink. But it's really interesting because it's leveraging the push for not only, you know, like unique and sort of like that bespoke trend of cocktails long gone by, but also because of vinegar's health attributes right now, that the idea of, you know, what does the healthy cocktail look like?
Exactly.
So it's hitting a couple fronts at the same time right now.
Cocktails you can feel good about and feel good about. Anything else before we wrap it up that stood out to you that you want to call our attention to?
Oh, geez. There's so much that was going on this year. Sort of in the hidden nooks and crannies, you had smoked citrus, which was a really neat idea for a dessert. So smoked lemons and smoked oranges, mm-hmm. appearing with chocolates, stone ground chocolate, the call outs for fresh ground peanut butter, and that becoming sort of a new artisan frontier. Looking at people that are grilling bacon, like on an actual barbecue grill now, and then also grilling other smoked meats. So they're purposely burning the outer edges of it to sort of caramelize it and give it this sort of like nitty gritty feel. And it has a totally different texture to it. You know, there was so much going on, that it was really overwhelming. And I thought that by the end of it, I was going to have someone roll me out of the main lobby, but it was completely worth it.
I'm sure it was. I swear if somebody opened a slightly burned food restaurant, I would be the first in line. I'm that person that wants the burned edges. So I love hearing about that. All right, Locke Hildebrand, trends expert here at Food Channel. Thanks so much. Now I'm hungry. Thanks a bunch.
It's what I'm supposed to do. Make people hungry. So now I'm hungry too. So let's go get some food.
I'm in. Let's go.